Good morning.
Beautiful crisp morning the Lord has blessed us with, and his mercies remain new, thankfully. It's one thing to hold on to memories. It's another to not let go of the past. Which one describes you? And how does your answer fit with how the Lord has called us to be, what kind of people? Such questions lead us into our focus for this morning on this second Sunday in Advent. With that in mind, I direct your attention to the invocation on page 3. God our Father, each day is a gift of your grace.
Your mercies are new every morning.
Guide our steps by the light of your word.
Shield us from harm and keep us from evil.
Better than life is your love.
With joy in our hearts and praise on our lips. Hallelujah.
Praise be to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Let us worship him.
Please stand. This I call to mind.
And therefore I hope.
Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail.
They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness.
I say to myself,
the Lord.
The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion.
So great is his unfailing love.
For he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men.
Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord.
Let us confess our sins to the Lord.
Almighty and merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed what we have devised and desired in our hearts. We have offended you and sinned against your holy law. We have done those things that we should not have done, and we have not done those things that we should have done. Have mercy. mercy on us, Lord. Spare us, forgive us, and restore us, according to your promises in Christ Jesus.
God, our merciful Father, has forgiven all our sins. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Redeemer and Savior. Jesus paid the penalty for our guilt by his death on the cross and freed us from death by his resurrection from the grave. We have peace with God now and forever.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
Let us give glory to God, our light and our life. Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to prepare the way for your only Son. By his coming, give us strength in our conflicts and shed light on our path through the darkness of this world.
Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated. To help set the tone, responsive sentences from Psalm 119. Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens.
Your faithfulness continues to all generations. You establish the earth and it endures.
How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Reading from Holy Scripture from the prophet Isaiah, the 40th chapter, reminding us what the Lord has to say about why listening to him is vital. Comfort, comfort, my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Part of a repentant lifestyle includes being ready to meet the Lord. A reading from Holy Scripture reminding us of this, 2 Peter chapter 3. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you to stand for the gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Mark, the first chapter. As John the Baptist prepared the way for the Lord Jesus, so we can and are to do the same. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated as we now turn to our hymn of the day. Grace, mercy, and peace remain yours in great abundance. And this is from God our Father, and also through our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whose birth we look forward to celebrating once again, because we know with his birth has come our salvation secured. And with that salvation secured, we also then are able to look forward to the time we will be with him forever in true paradise. We hear these words once again recorded down by the Apostle Peter. You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God. In keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who makes our life worth living, as he has given us something to look forward to. What were the ancients commended for? And by ancient children, we're not talking about your parents, even though the concept would fit for them. What were the ancients, such as Noah, Abraham, King David, Daniel, Isaiah, what were they commended for? In other words, what was their focus through this life? Hebrews 11 gives us insight into that. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. These were all commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Dear friends, that then is the same attitude and outlook that we are to have throughout our life here on this earth. And we can and do have such an outlook and attitude by the grace of God in our life. And so the Lord reminds us then today through the words recorded down by the Apostle Peter, be a looking forward person. Again, it's one thing to hold on to memories. It's another thing to be stuck in the past. Because if we're stuck in the past, we're going to miss out on what the Lord has prepared for us in the future. Why does the Lord encourage us to be a looking forward person? Well, through Peter, he reminds us that we are to be aware that a time, as we know it, it will come to an end. The Lord makes that point clear by emphasizing a couple of thoughts. One being in relation to time and God. He doesn't operate on the same time schedule that you and I have. To him, 1,000 years is like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years. I mean, he's eternal. He created time, not for his benefit, but for ours. Some have misused that reference that God has spoken to. See, that's why creation took thousands of years, see? Well, no, that's taken out of context and not sticking with the language. But they try to make it fit with what their illogic has to say and come up with. God is just simply emphasizing to those who are wondering, where is this end that God keeps talking about? Well, it's coming. But again, God doesn't operate in our timetable. I mean, you and I, wouldn't we love weekends to just stretch on and on and on? But the weekends seem to go in a blink of an eye, and the week itself, the weekdays, it's like, oh, aren't they done yet? But it's 24 hours on the weekends and 24 hours during the weekdays. See, we get all caught up in time. God doesn't. Who needs to change? Not God. We need to deal and adjust our attitude toward time. And God then in what seems to be a delay in bringing his coming, because you, by the grace of God, are ready for that Lord to come and bring his day. But he's got a reason for the delay. You and I are not always good at patience. Thankfully, God is. He's been patient with you and with me, and he's patient with the people of this world, because what does God want for the people of this world? He doesn't want their judgment, even though he will give it to people who reject him. He does want their salvation, and so he is patient with people, wanting people to come to a knowledge of his truth and so be saved. It's because of his mercy. It's because of who he is that he is patient with us and doesn't get caught up in meeting deadlines that we have set. See, God is not an angry God, as he is made out to be. Oh, he gets angry, a righteous anger, over the ills and the wrongs of this world, and rightly so. But his mercy dominates. And we see evidence of that as he took his anger out on his son, who dealt with what we should have received. Because God wants all people, by his grace, to be saved. However, he is also realistic in knowing that people will reject his opportunity to come to him for salvation. And so instead of looking forward to what is to come by the grace of God and living their life in light of what is to come, they live for the here and now. And because the here and now may not be what they have dreamed it would be or could be, maybe they were cruising through life and all of a sudden a diagnosis or an accident caused their life to come to a screeching halt and go in a different direction. Instead of looking at themselves or just understanding that because we live in a sinful world, those things can happen, they blame God and reject him. God remains patient with them too. For as long as there is breath in them in this side of heaven, there's the opportunity to repent and come back to him. And for those who have rejected him or have not heard about him, there still is time. And so we give thanks for the Lord's patience. The Lord also then reminds us that as we are to be looking forward people and aware of time coming to an end, that we shouldn't be surprised that when it does come, the signs that the end is coming are all around us, right? Wars and rumors of wars, disasters of all sorts of types, death, all sorts of reminders day in and day out that time is running out. Individually and collectively. And so there's no excuse to be clueless. Like, Lord, I didn't have a clue. Well, there's no excuse. The clues are all around us. But how many people take life for granted and ignore the clues? How many people worship the created things rather than the Creator? And how many times do we get caught up, too, in turning the created things into our God in place of the Creator? And look at the things of creation and the things that we have as something that we have brought about for ourselves, when really it's the Lord who has allowed us to have what we have in this life. How many times do we take credit for what we ought not take credit for? It's not just we ourselves. We recognize that in the world that doesn't recognize God as the builder and architect of everything, how they want to take credit for things, not seeing how God's hand of providence is providing what we need, and he is patient with them, allowing them to have good things to show his love for his creation. But a time for that will come to a stop. And when the end does come, As the Lord has described it, what's going to happen? Well, judgment, we're aware of that. But everything will be laid bare, all out there in the open, and people will get to know who God truly is, the righteous, just, merciful God. People's gods will be exposed for what they were. False gods. Everything here on this earth that we come to treat as creature comforts and all that we look forward to on this earth, well, it's going to be gone. And so the Lord says, don't look forward to the things of this earth necessarily. Rather, look forward to what is to come beyond, what the Lord has prepared for us, the mansion of heaven. Because all the things here on this earth will be destroyed, not by floodwaters this time, but by fire. Both are cleansing agents. And so if we keep that in mind, that everything that is created will be destroyed by fire, how does that cause us to view the things in our house that have been sitting in that back corner or in the attic for 25 years untouched? But we can't get rid of it because it's my comfort. It's going to burn up on the last day. It doesn't mean that it's not important. It doesn't have a time and place. But it's a reminder to look at our attitude. Am I holding on to something earthly to give me comfort when really the comfort comes from God himself? And what he has done for us and has accomplished for us and is waiting for us because of what he has accomplished. So the Lord says, be a looking forward person, aware that time is coming to an end. And so be this kind of people. This is how he wants us to spend our time. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. What kind of people ought we to be? Looking forward, people, to that new home which has been secured for us through Jesus, the one that God took out his anger on, who took upon himself all of our sins of idolatry and adultery and waywardness, took it all to the cross. So that God's anger would not be taken out on you and me and the rest of the world, but on his Son. And so his Son did say from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? He felt the pain and the weight and the guilt of all of our sins on him. But then he could also say later, it is finished. That anger is not going to be taken out on you because I already took care of it. And then 3 days later, he rises from the grave to assure us that because he lives, we too shall live. Death is not the end. It's the doorway to eternal life. That eternal life is sealed for us, thankfully, by the empty tomb. And the Lord has promised, as he keeps all of his promises, we can trust that he will keep this one too, that I am coming back for you to take you to be where I am. And you do know the way. It's through him who is the way, the truth, and the life, the one who was crucified for you and has risen again and will come back for you. That's what makes Christmas really such a magical time. It's not all the glitter and lights and all that, but it's the fact that as we know it, that because Jesus has come as promised, and as he came as promised, he did what he was going here to do, to die for us and to rise again and then go back to his place in heaven to prepare a place for us in heaven, all ushered in with Christmas. And so Christmas is even heightened more in our celebration, at least it ought to be, because Christmas gives us something to look forward to. And not just Christmas, but beyond. And so he says, don't dwell in the past. That can trip us up. Don't be like a runner who looks backward and thus loses time and momentum. Be that runner who keeps looking forward, focused on the finish line. That's how we are to live our lives. That's how we remain blameless and spotless and pure. Anticipate that day. And you and I can, by the grace of God. We can anticipate that day and not live in fear or dread of it, as many people do. We don't do anything to hasten that day, but we don't have to live in fear of it. And the reason why, again, was repeated several times by the Apostle Peter, by inspiration. Look forward to the day of God. Looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth. You are looking forward to this. Be a looking forward person. And live in light of that anticipation. Desiring to imitate Christ and His holiness and His love and His encouragement. We cannot do it perfectly, but His mercies are new every day. And so every day He refreshes us to live in His holiness and to live His love and His encouragement. And we know people today, they need love and encouragement. Who do we need to apologize to because we haven't shown them that love and encouragement that we should have shown them? Who can we reach out to who needs a note or a verbal word of love and encouragement? That's what a life of sanctification looks like. One led by the Holy Spirit in us. One that is full of love and encouragement and proper focus, not getting caught up in the things of this world, being okay with change as long as we're not changing the Bible, but the other things will change. I mean, we change cars, we change homes, we change clothes, and we live to tell about it. By the grace of God, we have been changed on the inside where it matters most. And we are alive yet to tell about it. That's what the Lord has called us to do while we're here, to speed the day of the Lord if possible, to reach out to as many people as possible with the good news of a Savior, Jesus Christ. Our world is hurting because they don't have that Savior in their hearts and in their life, or have rejected Him. But that is not to stop us from carrying out that great commission of going and making disciples of all nations individually and collectively. That's His goal, and that is to be our goal. And so as we go and talk to people about what Jesus has done, make sure we also listen first to where they are in their life and not assume we know where they are in their life. Why are they hurting? Maybe why have they rejected Jesus or stopped coming to church before we assume we know why? And then we can better lead with the gospel. Who can we invite to hear the gospel? It was great to say many people who were invited last night at the Nativity. As we invited them to that, can we continue to invite them to hear more about Jesus? For the need is great, and the work is plenty, but the workers are getting fewer. Pray for more workers. Look in the mirror and encourage others. As we stay then connected to God through His means of grace, He will remain in us. And we will remain ready for the biggest change to come our way. A change related to the one already made in us by His grace. And since this change in us was and is a positive, we then are able to look forward with eager anticipation to what God has in store for us while we are in this world and when He takes us home. Because by His grace, we are looking forward people. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen. We join in a confession of faith towards the top of page 9.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
What are we meaning to say with these words?
I believe that I cannot, by my own meaning or choosing, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to Him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith.
In the same way, He calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith.
In this Christian church, He daily and fully forgives all sins to me and all believers. On the last day, He will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ.
This is most certainly true. Please.
We pray. Grant us, O Lord, to live each day in gladness and peace, without stumbling and without stain, that reaching the evenings victorious over all temptation, we may praise You, the eternal God, for You govern all things and are praised now and forever. Make us instruments of Your peace. Where there is hatred,
let us so love.
Where there is injury,
pardon.
Where there is doubt,
faith.
Where there is despair,
hope.
Where there is darkness,
light.
Where there is sadness,
joy.
O Lord, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love.
Lord, it is in the name that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life.
Dwell in our homes, O Lord, and let the trust of our families be centered in you alone, so that no difficulty, trial, or adversity rob us of the conviction that you are our helper in every time of need. Relieve the afflictions of the weary and the sick, and dry the tears of the troubled and sorrowful. Lead them to look to you as the unfailing spring of healing and hope.
Help us to believe and trust in him, love and serve him, that in all our thoughts, words, and actions, we may manifest his spirit. Renew our selfishness and subdue our self-indulgence. Deepen our sympathies, strengthen our hope, and confirm us in our faith.
Lord, you love the cheerful giver who with open heart and hand blesses freely as a river that refreshes all the land. Grant us then the grace of giving with a spirit large and true, that our life and all our living we may consecrate to you. Continue to shower grace upon grace on those celebrating a birthday this week. And Lord, we ask that you refresh the body and mind of Keith Smith as he continues to undergo testing. Not only refresh his body as you will for him, continue to refresh his mind and heart with the reminder that his status has not changed because of these health challenges. His status with you through Jesus. Hear us, Lord, then, as we also bring you our private petitions. All these things we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
And we also pray.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Thank you.
O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Thank you.
speaking of his greatness, just how vibrant these flowers are up here this morning that we've been blessed with by the altar. They really pop. So again, God is good. Something we probably just take for granted. So stop and smell the roses. They look beautiful. Today we're not having Bible study, but we're having fellowship of a different time, an encouragement opportunity with our brunch. It'll start at 9:15 in the multipurpose center. You can make your way over there. If you have a name tag that, you know, pre-made one, it's hanging up in the west balcony hallway, please take it and wear it. If you don't have one, there are labels there. You can make your own name tag. There, making your own name tag is in the lobby in the multipurpose center. Also, as you sit at the table there, before you even eat or while you're eating, again, we're not going to start serving until 9:15. There's a conversation starter. Directions are on each of the tables. So that's all I'm going to give you for now. But a little conversation starter at your table. Poinsettia opportunity to help beautify for Christmas worship services. See the sign-up sheet there on the counter underneath the television there in the lobby. Midweek number 2 Advent service coming up this Wednesday, Lord willing, at 6:30 with supper ahead of time at 5:30. Keep that in mind. Next Sunday, 8 o'clock, will be our normal Advent service. And then the 10:45 service will be our children's Christmas service. So keep that in mind if you want to invite people to hear the children sing and tell the story of Jesus' birth. A great opportunity to do so. Invites are available, again, for our Christmas services in various spots in the lobby. And then just, again, see the weekly news for the things that are going on here at church and school the rest of this month. And now we'll get connected with the work we support together as part of our church body.
Hi, I'm Wells President Mark Schrader. I'm coming to you from Hanoi, Vietnam. It was 5 years ago that the government of Vietnam invited our synod to build a theological education center to train the pastors of the Hmong Fellowship Church. And today, that dream has become a reality. We've just dedicated this new building. So very soon, another group of more than 50 Hmong pastors will begin their training at this school. And there they'll be educated in the truths of Scripture. They'll learn to distinguish well between law and gospel. And most of all, they'll be able to go back to their people to proclaim God's saving message of grace in Jesus.
Sung Shung is a pastor in the Hmong Fellowship Church, an independent Christian church body in Vietnam, made up of over 350 churches and serving nearly 150,000 members.
The teaching I heard before was just teaching the law, how to behave, how to live life. I saw Jesus Christ, but not in a clear picture.
Before, this church body was burdened by rules and regulations. They did not know about the gift of grace in Jesus Christ. But after leaders of the Hmong Fellowship Church found and reached out to Wells for theological training, everything changed.
At Wells' training, I understand that Jesus Christ is the heartbeat of the gospel. I understand salvation is given to me freely.
Pastor Shung is part of the first graduating class of 55 students from Wells Seminary Level Training Program for the Hmong Fellowship Church. And that program now has a home of its own after the completion of Wells' new Theological Education Center in the capital city of Hanoi.
Let these doors be open in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
This new residential theological education center will provide training from Wells professors and missionaries to pastors in the Hmong Fellowship Church.
The student will be here and we will use the curriculum very similar to the Pastoral Study Institute program through the Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary. However, we will adapt that and simplify that into a version, a simpler version, so that we can pass that to the students who are not well educated in Southeast Asia, especially in Vietnam.
One important aspect of this theological training center is that the education provided here will not be limited to the pastors who study here. The pastors trained in this school will go back to their home congregations and teach these same biblical truths to other pastors in their church body. So, the impact of the training they receive here will be multiplied to hundreds of other pastors.
So a handful was trained here, and then they went and trained hundreds of other pastors and elders so that they could train the churches where they are at, some in very remote locations that would be impossible, if not illegal, for our American Wells pastors to visit.
The Hmong students have a love of learning God's word. The leaders, certainly we've seen that, but with the rural training we saw it in the members too, that they love to learn God's word, and they turned out for these programs and encourage it and continue to participate in it.
And because of the gospel training that is planned to happen inside this building, more and more people in this part of the world will be able to hear about the grace given freely through Jesus Christ.
A little bit of tears of joy. You know, this has been a long walk with the Hmong Fellowship Church and getting this facility up and just hearing those voices unite. You know what they were saying. They were thanking their Lord for the ability to have this facility to do the training.
Training in the pure law and gospel of God's grace that they can now take back to their villages and share with the nearly 150,000 souls of the Hmong Fellowship Church.
I want to thank you for bringing the program to us. It's a gift to us. Since I came to Wells training, it's like something good and strong foundation with deep roots. I want to share this same learning with other people.
I think you'd agree that the opportunity that God has given us in Vietnam is just an amazing opportunity that comes only from His grace. So we'd certainly like to thank Him for opening the doors to the gospel here in Vietnam. I'd also like to thank you for your generous gifts of support that have made this work, this building, possible. And we pray for the Hmong Fellowship Church that as they proclaim the good news of Jesus, that He continues to bless that church with rapid growth as He builds His kingdom one soul at a time.